Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Greetings and a hearty welcome to all of our listeners. This is another USCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach broadcast. We're delighted that you've joined us today, and as we say each time, these broadcasts are designed to reach out to the USCCM laity and to fulfill the goal of the Ministry of Laity Training, which is consistent with Ephesians 4:11 through 13, which tells us to prepare the laity for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. We're so glad that you could join us this morning. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, all the benevolence that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for allowing us to gather together one more time through the means of technology to share your word, that we might be enlightened, taught, uplifted, and encouraged. Lord, bless each listener. Oh God, we ask you to help us to learn something today that will take us through our daily walk and our path with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, our theme for today's Laity Outreach broadcast, I should say our theme for this year, is USCCM Laity, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. We were so blessed in our January broadcast to have as our guest speaker the presiding prelate of the USCCM, His Grace Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr. We were truly inspired and encouraged by his words as he set the tone for the year and blessed us with his teaching and wisdom. During this year of 2017, we're led of the Lord to have a variety of speakers, including some of our bishops and other USCCM clergy leaders and affiliates, who will present lessons and learning sessions around this year's theme of preparation, empowerment, and emboldenment by God's word for greater works. We encourage you to tune in the second Saturday of each month at 12 noon Eastern Time. During these broadcasts, time will be available for you to have the opportunity to call in with your questions, observations, comments, testimonies, or additional insights on the lessons which you may wish to share. Your participation is greatly encouraged. Remember, this is not a solo or one-man job, but we all can contribute. Some personal I ams have been placed in my spirit and are reflected in our 2017 theme. These personal I ams are for us as USCCM laity. I am prepared. I am empowered. I am emboldened to do greater works for God through understanding and knowing his word and his will for my life. I believe these personal I ams can operate in our lives because we are called by his name and by his word. And because of this, we will be able to accomplish what he has commanded us to do. Today, I would like to add an additional personal I am, which is I am encouraged. And as you listen this morning in your spirit, just begin to declare these personal I ams. I am prepared. I am empowered. I am emboldened. And I am encouraged. Our topic for today is one which I hope will encourage you. The topic is the good news is the bad news is wrong. Let me say that again. The good news is the bad news is wrong. And the purpose of the lesson today is to bring words of encouragement for all of us in our Christian journey and our daily walk as we face the challenges and the exigencies of this life. I believe that God is preparing, empowering, and emboldening us for what lies ahead. And it is through learning, studying, knowing, and applying His word that we will be equipped to do those greater works that He said we would do. Even as laity, we have a key role and responsibility in reaching and winning the lost souls for Christ. When I think of the word responsibility, I think of the notion of response able to respond, able to do. So we are able to respond and do that which God has called us to do. We know that we're living in the last days, and all manner of evil and wickedness is taking place throughout the land. So much is going on in our cities, our country, and this world. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but it seems daunting and discouraging. And sometimes our hearts sink as we listen to the news, as we hear the angry rhetoric, as we listen to the rabid attacks on the truth. Even the sovereignty of the one true and living God is being attacked by those who speak and operate against the word of God. We recall from our studies that after Solomon finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, God appeared by night to him a second time and let him know that he had heard his prayer. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, we experience and read and hear the Lord saying, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." What awesome words of the Lord. During this evening light hour, we as laity must be committed as never before to humble ourselves, to pray, and seek God's face. Those are all actions that we must do if we are to hear from heaven, and if healing will take place. We must lay aside those weights and distractions that weigh us down, that make us spiritually and physically sluggish, and we must pray and seek God's face as never before. This is a time, dear listeners, when we need to affirm and declare God's sovereignty in our lives as we have never done before. We are His children, the people who are called by His name. Affirm, we are called by His name. A royal priesthood. Affirm, we are a royal priesthood. And a chosen generation. Affirm, we are a chosen generation. We need to constantly affirm these truths, not just in our words, but most importantly in our deeds and actions. There is an old saying that when the words and actions do not match, believe the actions. As people of God, we do not want to simply make verbal affirmations and declarations. What we need to do and what we do needs to match and line up with what we say, both for the world to see as well as within the body of Christ and the work of the Lord. One of the challenges that we as believers face on a regular basis are the deliberate distortions of Satan. These are designed to suit his evil agenda. As people of God, those who are called by his name, it seems as though Satan relishes making sure that we receive plenty of bad news, evil reports about our circumstances, our situations, myths, rumors, lies regarding our homes, our jobs, our family, our health, our finances, and yes, even about the church. I'm reminded of a book written by Ben Wattenberg in 1985, and the title of his book is The Good News is That the Bad News is Wrong. This book is one of the best books on how people lie with statistics. Its theme is that much of the bad news we read and hear on a daily basis isn't really bad at all. In fact, Wattenberg found that often good news was deliberately distorted by special interests to advance their own agendas. Think about it. Isn't this just what we're subjected to? The deliberate distortions of Satan? We know what his agenda is. It is to sift us as wheat. In other words, to do all that he can to shake us and separate us from our faith. Think about it. We're bombarded with bad news every day in our news media, and there's so many sources used to transmit the bad news. Television, radio, print media, the internet, social media. Also, right now, there's an awful lot of tweeting going on. It seems as though people relish bad news. Some of you may have heard the story about the man who started a newspaper, and in his newspaper, he only published good news. Well, you can imagine that newspaper folded. In fact, it only lasted for a day. Why? Because the nature of humans is that we like to focus on bad news, not good news. Bad news sells papers. The thought in thinking about this book that the good news is that the bad news is wrong brought to my mind the fact that God, in his word, has given us a promise, which is actually the antidote to bad news. And if we believe his word and take his promise at face value, we would know without a shadow of a doubt that indeed the good news is the bad news is wrong. This promise is clearly articulated in Romans 8:28 when the Apostle Paul tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Note, this promise is not for everybody, but it's for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose, which means those who are called from death unto life through salvation in Jesus Christ once and for all. This verse represents one of the most sweeping and loved promises in the Bible. Perhaps more than any other promise in the Bible, this verse has helped us to trust God through experiences that seemed painful, horrible, and just evil. This promise encourages us to believe the word of God that these terrible things will turn out for our good. Now, when Paul says that all things work together for good, it doesn't mean that things just work out that way on their own. It means that God makes all things work together for good. So God is the one working, not things. God is the one turning around those things for our good. What he is bringing is good out of all things. Paul is not even saying that all things are good. We know for a fact that all things are not good. But what he is saying to us is that all things are turned by God for good. The only condition is that we love him and are called according to his purpose. So when we experience things that are not good, bad things, we must focus on the fact that true to his word and his promise, God is turning them for good in our lives. I don't know about you, but I have many examples in my own life of things that have happened to me that I thought were so bad and that I thought were so horrible and that were so hopeless. But God ultimately turned those things around for my good. I'm sure that many of you can cite some examples of this in your own lives. God is so true to his word. This is why we know that the good news is that the bad news is wrong. The word of God is filled with many examples to illustrate this truth. I think of Lazarus, that account of Lazarus in John 11, where the bad news was for Lazarus and his sisters that Lazarus was sick. And so they sent for Jesus. Jesus immediately said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in it." So Jesus took his time going to Bethany to see about Lazarus. And the reason that he took his time was so that God's will could be accomplished. More bad news. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Even though Jesus told her that her brother would rise again, Martha was still buying into the bad news, because she said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus let her know that the bad news was wrong. The good news, Jesus was 4 days late, but he was on time. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked her. In other words, he was asking her, "Whose report will you believe?" Jesus then called Lazarus forth, and he came out bound in his grave clothes, face wrapped in cloth, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Good news is that the bad news was wrong. There's another example that we study in the scriptures, the account in Luke of the woman with the issue of blood. That account is in Luke 8:43-48 and in Mark. The bad news, this poor woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors and couldn't be healed. Now, we understand that back in those days, as described in the book of Leviticus chapter 15, a woman with a discharge of blood was to be set apart for 7 days, and whoever touched her would be unclean until evening. And everything that she sat on or lay on would be unclean, and anyone who touched anything of hers would be unclean. For this woman, bad news all around. More bad news. She desired to have an encounter with Jesus, but the poor woman was caught up in a throng of people trying as best she could to get to Jesus. But the good news was this woman did not believe the bad news. Instead, she sought out Jesus, made her way through a crowd, and touched the border or the hem of his garment, and was healed immediately. Oh, what lessons we can learn. When bad news comes our way, it comes down to how we choose to act on what we see and hear. It comes down to how we choose to believe. It comes down to our decision. Unlike the woman with the issue of blood, we often buy into and accept the bad news and act accordingly. But I ask you today, whose report will you believe? Do you believe what our circumstances are saying? Do you believe the myths, lies, setbacks, attacks, and discouragements? Do you believe what your feelings are saying? Do you believe what your enemies are saying? Do you believe what your friends are saying? Or do you choose to believe the report of the Lord and the promise of Romans 8:28 that God is working and he is bringing good out of all things to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose? In Christ Jesus, we know that the only news is good news. The good news is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's take a short break and we will be back in a moment.
Get ready to take the limits off next week, Wednesday and Thursday, October 16th and 17th in Houston, Texas, at the 2017 Holy Convocation of the UFCCM Southwest Jurisdiction. Bishop Don G. Banks, Jurisdictional Prelate, and Bishop Samuel L. King, Presiding Bishop, UFCCM Texas Province. Bishop Leotis Crow is our special guest. Go to ufccm.org and click on the calendar of events for more details. That's ufccm.org and click on the calendar of events for more details. Get ready to take the limits off.
We would like everybody to participate in these broadcasts because this is for you, the UFCCM laity. Now, we were saying in Christ, the only news is good news. The good news for us and the world is that Jesus is the Christ and him crucified. So, you know, we think about bad news. The bad news says you're going to die. But the good news is, as the psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The bad news said, you're going to lose your mind. But the good news is, Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The bad news is, sickness and disease are everywhere. But the good news, listeners, is I don't need to fear sickness and disease because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Praise be to God. The bad news is the devil seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But the good news is Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, we look at the bad news right now. The economy is bad. The stock market is down. Inflation is up. I may be about to lose my job, my car, my home, my identity. But the good news is Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. He didn't say needs, but need, limitless, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We read the bad news that children are killing their parents. Parents are killing their children. Schools are out of control. Children are rebelling against parents and against all that is right and decent. But the good news is Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The bad news is things like witchcraft, sorcery, satanic worship, demonic spirits being released against the church in these last days. Even the very sovereignty of God is being questioned, challenged, and attacked. The good news is Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And then in Second Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then the good news of Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Remember what we said earlier. I am called by his name. I'm a royal priesthood, and I'm of a chosen generation. God wants us to be encouraged, dear listeners, as never before. He wants us to hold on to his promises because he is going to do what he said he will do. Guaranteed, he is not a man that he should lie, and his word will not return void. So we must be encouraged by the word of God to know that the good news is that the bad news is wrong. Know that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And know and affirm constantly and daily and every chance you get that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, whatever bad news you receive and are faced with in 2017, know that the good news is the bad news is wrong. Tell everybody, go around saying this to yourself, the good news is that the bad news is wrong. God wants us to be encouraged and to know that whatever comes against us, he's got it all under control. He can, and I declare unto you, he will turn it around in your favor. Whatever is meant for harm and discouragement to us, God will work it out for our good. Even if life gives you 1,000 reasons to quit, God will give you 1,001 more reasons to keep going. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Indeed, the good news is the bad news is wrong. Now I'd like to open it up to callers, listeners who want to call in and share some insights or a testimony or an experience that you have had which illustrates that the good news is the bad news is wrong. Do we have any callers this morning, this afternoon? Well, we encourage you to think on these words. Think on how God has turned things around in your favor so many times. And for that, God is worthy of praise and God is worthy of glory. Amen. I'd like to let you know that our March broadcast, which will be on March the 11th. Our guest speaker will be Elder Carolyn Hunt. Elder Hunt is a member of the USCCM headquarters jurisdiction. She is a national official with the USCCM secretariat. She's a preacher, an excellent preacher and teacher, and she is going to share a lesson with us around the theme that we have laid out for this year. And I want to repeat that theme for those who may have been tuned in a little late. USCCM Laity, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. Amen. So if we don't have any callers or listeners who want to share this morning.
Get ready to take the limits off next week, Wednesday and Thursday, October 16th and 17th in Houston, Texas, at the 2017 Holy Convocation of the UFCCM Southwest Jurisdiction. Bishop Don G. Banks, Jurisdictional Prelate, and Bishop Samuel L. King, Presiding Bishop, UFCCM Texas Province. Bishop Leotis Crow is our special guest. Go to UFCCM.org and click on the calendar of events for more details. That's UFCCM.
Okay, do we have some callers this morning? Do we have any callers who want to share this morning?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, I was just listening, and I wanted to speak on how God can change things around. When you spoke on the good news, is that the bad news is wrong, and I can have a testimony to that, and just an encouragement for others out there, is that I had a situation where employers, well, coworkers at my job were kind of just being, I would say, just being kind of distant and kind of just not being very fair to me and kind of treat me kind of differently and everything. And I really wasn't kind of, you know, looking at that, you know, but I was just kind of like wondering why they were all of a sudden making all these different changes and treating me kind of different around the office and, you know, just kind of unfair, you know, wasn't giving me any type of help, you know, just wasn't being a team player with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and just God just laid it upon my heart just, you know, to give it over to him and let him handle it, you know. And so I just kind of just, you know, kept doing what I normally do, is just, you know, smile, and, you know, I didn't change who I was, but, you know, kept doing, being the person who I am. And if they needed help, you know, I helped. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I just kept being who I am as a child of God. And, you know, and I guess, you know, things, you know, started to turn around a little bit, you know, and he just, you know, laid it upon my heart that, you know, don't worry about it, you know, just keep being who I am and don't, you know, let the enemy come in and try to change who I am because they saw how happy I was, but I wasn't going to let them take my joy.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, so it's just like, you know, no matter what the, you know, I just felt like, you know, because it was just, everybody seemed like it was in the office. So I was just like, no. So no matter what was going on, I just didn't let it get to me, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, I just stood my ground and I didn't let it bother me. I didn't let it deter me, you know. I just kept deeper in my word and, you know, and I just, you know, praise God all the way through. So, and that just kind of just.
Sister Killer, thank you for sharing that testimony. And
mm-hmm.
as you were speaking, I was thinking of that scripture in Second Chronicles that talks about the fact that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And you gave it up, you described how you gave it to God and let him work it out.
Yes.
And when we do that, that shows us that we're taking the promise of God at face value, and he will work all things out. So I encourage you to keep that spirit alive and to just know in your spirit that whatever bad news or bad situations, God is going to work it out in your favor.
Yeah.
And you continue to be encouraged, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing. I'm sure your testimony has blessed many who are listening.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. God bless. And we have Sister Paulette on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I just have a comment. I usually... I've been dedicated in placing meditation, the word meditation in my prayers that I share with others on social media and also in my personal prayers. So by your lesson today, I want to commend on you bringing up distractions, which is something that I need in my personal life and also in my leader abilities at Bread of Life Church as an usher. I want to meditate on the chosen generation. I really didn't think that, you know, the generation that we need is us, and we are chosen. So I would like to meditate on that in my prayers. You also mentioned believe the actions. That's something to be meditated on as well. Rumor, I want to indicate that, and distortions. So you have given me a highlight on some of the things in my personal prayers and the prayers that I share, these things that I would like to meditate on in prayer.
Well, Sister Paulette, that is so inspirational because I believe God opens our eyes and opens up his word to us for us to meditate on.
Yes.
And to hide these things. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. That is the process where we hide it and we meditate on it and we feast on it, and it is a source of encouragement. So I'm so delighted that you shared this idea of meditation because
yes.
I believe that so many times we're so busy talking, we're not listening.
Amen. Amen.
To what God has to say to us. We're doing all the talking, but there comes a time when we need to set aside time and space and just meditate on God's word. So, you know, it's almost like my mother used to make a fruit cake, and then she would pour grape juice on it to let it soak in and make it nice and sweet and tasty.
Okay. Okay.
And I believe that's what we need to do with the Word of God. So we encourage you in your meditations, and Thank you so much for sharing, and God bless.
You're welcome. God bless.
Thank you. We have other callers.
Hello?
Yes, Bishop?
Yes. Thank God for the opportunity to share with you all today. I just want to make a comment on the remarks that were just made by the person who was on the line just now and your comment to him about the fruitcake. I often refer to tell my wife that leftover savory for some reason tastes better than the original meal. And I think meditation on the Word of God, while the Word of God is never leftovers, but the analogy is almost the same. The more you meditate on it, the more sweeter it seems to be, and the more you get out of it as you go over it again and again. I enjoyed the broadcast this morning very much, and I would like to suggest to our listening audience that if you don't mind, when you call in, give your name and let us know where you're from. Just the state you're calling in from, we would appreciate that very much. And to Teacher Tyndall, our UFCCM chair lady, Laity Crane, you're doing an excellent job. We commend you for the work and the sacrifices that you're making to bring the broadcast to us. And may God continue to bless you in what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We are so encouraged by those words, encouraged to go on. And I just like what you shared about the leftovers, and you mentioned that it seems to be sweeter the more we meditate. And that is just so true, the Word of God. Not only is it sweeter, but each time you meditate, you get something new and something different. I've read many books in my own personal life, and no other book is like God's Word, because every time I read it, I get something new, something fresh, a fresh word from the Lord and an inspiration through the reading and the meditation. So we thank you for your support and your comments. God bless. Are there any other callers?
Yes, God bless you. Teacher Tyndall, this is Mother Bishop Tyndall. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Mother Bishop?
I'm doing well, and I'm blessed. I thank God for the broadcast. I was just sitting here and just thinking on the wonderful words that were said, the words of encouragement and the words of empowerment. And I was just thinking, particularly in these last days, as believers in Christ, how important it is to be empowered with the Word of God, to use the tools that you are presenting in the broadcast, how it is uplifting to us and empowers us as we are meeting the forces in the world today, that we have tools in our hands so that we are fully equipped to meet the trials of the world. And I just want to encourage you, Sister Teacher, to continue on in this broadcast and continue on in the Word of God, because I'm telling you, Bishop Tyndall and I were sitting here in our prayer room, and we are truly, our war room, and we are truly uplifted by hearing these powerful words of God. And I just want to continue to encourage you, because my soul has been blessed, and I'm encouraged more now to go on, and I feel emboldened even more to go on in the Word of God and to stand up and not be afraid, because of what I have gathered from here today. So I just want to say those words of encouragement, Sister Teacher. Just keep on teaching on.
Thank you, Mother Bishop. That means so much. Those words of encouragement mean so much coming from you, and it's so beautiful how we encourage one another. I was just so inspired by what you said about the importance of empowerment. We don't realize the power that God's Word gives us.
Yes.
And I just thank and praise God for that, and I pray that you will continue to be blessed. And Mother Bishop will be one of our speakers on the broadcast, so we're looking forward to an awesome and a great word from you. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Teacher.
Thank you. Are there other speakers, callers?
God bless you, Teacher Tendall. This is Elder Lawrence from New Jersey.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say I am enjoying the webcast immensely. I told you when I saw the email last week that I would try to attend, and it was unfortunate that I missed that one, but I was so blessed to get this one. And I just wanted to make one comment that, first of all, you're just doing an amazing job, and it is just so necessary for us to just continue to, you know, use these different elements that are in the world to get the message of the gospel out, or to just keep each other encouraged like we're doing. And I echo some of, you know, what some of the others said, like Mother Tendall. At this time of uncertainty, it is so good to be refreshed and just reminded in the word where you mentioned Romans 8, the very popular scripture that all things are working to the good, you know, for those of us who are the chosen, called according to its purpose. And I just think that that is a scripture that we will just never hear enough of. And the way that Bishop said it was just perfect. It gets sweeter every time. And it's just more and more true, it seems. So I was just grateful to experience this webcast today and just be reminded that regardless to what is uncertain, regardless to the bad news that seems to be wrong, it is always good news for us in Christ. And I just wanted to say I definitely got something from the message today, and I look forward to, you know, logging in the future as well.
Well, Elder Lawrence, we're so glad to hear from you and for your words of encouragement. And it just blesses my heart to know that, you know, this is not about me, but this is about us as UFCCM, that we're being blessed one of another, and we can share words that will encourage one another, because we're doing what God wants us to do, which is encouraging one another in the faith so that we may be strengthened and then go out and bring and win lost souls for Christ. So we thank you, God bless you, and we look forward to having you on our broadcast in the future. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Are there other callers? Well, I'm just so elated at the broadcast today and the callers and the sharing and the insights. And I encourage us all to go forth and just be encouraged as never before and know that the good news is the bad news is wrong, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So if there are no more callers, we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for allowing us to partake of this broadcast. Bless all of the callers and listeners. Help us all to go forth and be encouraged as never before, leaning and depending on your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a definite need for train the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.